Support for GLT comes from Bloomington Public Library, now offering a local podcast, Shelf Understanding. Past topics include the tiny house movement, virtual reality, an interview with author Eric Larson, and more. Shelf Understanding is available at bloomingtonlibrary.org, through iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org.
Love the lovely hydrangea? Well, here's how to enjoy that plant. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice. From our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum, it is Patrick Murphy. Hello there, Murph.
Laura, hi.
Today on GLT's Grow, Murph has advice on how to cultivate hydrangeas. They are lovely, aren't they?
Is there any doubt that they are one of the most useful and lovely adaptable flowers in the landscape?
And you get great cut flowers from them.
Thank you. I was going to say that they are oftentimes left to waste. You know, after the beauty is gone, there's still an opportunity there. And I know a gal named Marianne in Monticello, Illinois, that she would let her Annabelle, that's hydrangea arborescens, she would let them dry on the stem with the little stem holder, and then paint them silver with silver spray paint as part of her holiday decor. And
cool.
It was always fabulous.
So this is a very versatile plant.
They're great. And they have their own family. Hydrangeas are in the Hydrangeaceae family. And to talk about them, I kind of grouped them in some predictable groups. And then as far as cultivating them and growing them, it's like choosing the right tool for the job.
Alrighty.
So I can talk to everybody about them that way. I mentioned the Annabelle hydrangea, hydrangea arborescens. They're very, very much known for that big, humongous white drumstick flower, you know, like the size of a child's head. Just this great big thing, you know. And they are great for a hedge. They're great for floral stock. They're great for live flower arrangements and other decor items just because of the scope and the size of the flowering on this plant. And another thing is they're native to the U.S., and that's always an important thing to point out, being in the Department of Biology. And, you know, so even for folks that are up in Minnesota and lower parts of Alberta, Canada, you could have this in your landscape because they're hardy to zones 2 and 3.
That's great. That's wonderful.
That is really fantastic. So now we can talk about hydrangea macrophylla. Endless Summer is a very popular cultivar in, of that range of hydrangea. The macrophyllas come in a lace cap and a mop head is kind of the categories for the flowers there.
A mop head, I love that.
And they're the ones that are blue or white, depending upon the soil composition.
Okay, so what are we talking about, pH in the soil?
That's right, that's right. And they have kits that are a little more safe for that gardening endeavor.
Kits?
Yeah. Maybe kits not the right word, but this is, they have amendments that are prepackaged for the purpose of trying to manipulate the pH to change hydrangea flower color.
So if you want it to be blue, what do you want? Higher pH or a lower pH?
I believe it's higher.
Okay.
Higher. And but this is also right place, right plant type thing.
Okay, great.
If you have to do that, it's not going to stay that way, and you're probably going to encounter other problems. But they're generally speaking a fairly disease-resistant plant.
That's nice to know.
You can have the blue without having to do all the extra chemistry.
You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, hydrangeas 101, and I always thought it was hard work to get them blue.
For the macrophyllas, it is. But they're very popular because they're a little bit on the smaller side. They're a really nice garden shrub or bedding shrub.
Right.
They're much smaller than the hydrangea arborescens. The Annabelle is a large shrub, you know, like chest high. The others are smaller. I would consider them part of the ground layer in a landscape or a garden. But then, you know, we talked about the blue, and I don't want to discourage people from doing that. But to me, that's like trimming a shrub to make it work in a location where it is too large for the setting or something along those lines. Because as I was saying, if you like the blue, there's other choices.
All right, then what are those
choices? Panicle hydrangeas, another group of hydrangeas, Laura, and they have some fabulous ones that I know you're going to love when I tell you their names.
Yes.
Tardiva.
Ooh.
Tardiva. Hey,
are you sure that's not a dinosaur?
It makes me want some chocolate, or is that Godiva?
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, but this is a tree form sometimes grafted, and kind of an upright, leafy hydrangea that doesn't have the round little tea saucer type flowers. It's got a long spearhead shaped flower.
Cool.
They are fantastic for giving us flower in the heat of the summer, at a time that the landscape is a little bit starved for flowers.
Yes.
And then it carries over into the early fall with some unbelievable pink colors in the foliage.
Oh, gorgeous.
Right.
Pink. I love that.
So, you know, when we talked about doing this topic before, I said, oh, great, I get to talk about PG hydrangeas. I just love them. They are a blue snowball type hydrangea, and they're a woody hydrangea. But the little snowball-sized flowers are pale blue. And again, this one can be grown in a tree form without grafting. So it is a woody, rigid hydrangea. They are underutilized. You just don't see them as often as you could see them.
That's a shame.
Yeah. And then there's another native hydrangea to the United States that's the oak leaf hydrangea. That's Hydrangea quercifolia. I always think that the Latin names are interesting,
yeah.
Right? Because the genus for oak is Quercus.
Oh.
So the descriptor for this species of hydrangea is quercifolia. So it's got that little quercus part in there indicating the oak nature of the leaf.
So cool.
It's just really cool, yeah. But this is a great hydrangea because it has the, again, the late summer large ice cream cone type white flower.
Mm-hmm.
You can get it in shades of pink. This is a hydrangea that'll grow with a lot more shade and in drier soils. And that's really handy here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And it's really handy in construction site type landscape developments. So if you live in Eagle's Nest, Eagle's Ridge, Eagle's
One of the many
Wings,
eagles
whatever,
around here.
You know, right? You know, y'all know what I'm talking about, the various subdivisions, where they scrape away everything and leave you something that's a little more challenging to garden in.
Clay.
Hydrangea quercifolia, the oak leaf hydrangea, and tardiva are for you.
Mm-hmm.
They're the good, bad soil hydrangeas. Yeah.
Do they have really nice color in the fall with the leaves?
Again, this one is noted for that.
Okay.
So we get the pink from the tardiva. So if you had the tardivas and the oak leaves in layers, you could have pink with burgundy and red.
Oh, that'd be gorgeous.
Yeah, so the oak leaf hydrangea has a noteworthy fall color. And then once they get up to have some size, the naked stems that are left after the leaves fall, they have like a peeling type birchy looking stem and bark. So they even have character in the winter.
Great. Winter character. Love that.
How about it? It's just fantastic.
Yeah. It sounds like a winter all around.
And then the only one thing is sad faces for soggy feet. They don't like soggy feet. You know. So if it's a commercial landscape where there's irrigation, I don't know, that might be a problem.
Okay.
But we have to talk about the climbers.
All right, then.
To talk about the climbers, Laura.
Let's hear it.
The climbing hydrangea, the Hydrangea anomala petiolaris, right? So vines climb with petioles. Mm-hmm. Here's another cool Latin name function there. This is a great hydrangea. They can break your heart, though, because they won't flower every year. They just won't. They're in biology, in the circles of science, I am in agreement that there is an interruption in the weather cycles to the extent that it's affecting the pollinators, and the hydrangeas are one plant that see that most often.
That's a shame.
Already in 2017, 11 calls from folks with hydrangeas asking, why aren't they getting flowers?
Because they need the pollinators.
They need the pollinators, and the strange weather is interrupting that. Last one is the Chinese climbing hydrangea. That's Schizophragma. It's still in the hydrangea family. That's the Chinese climbing hydrangea. Beautiful climbing hydrangea with smooth leaves.
All right. That sounds gorgeous. Thanks for that advice, Murph.
My pleasure.
Next week on GLT's Grow, we're going to the movies. Oh, but if we're going to go to the movies, you know what we're going to need? Popcorn.
Manja.
So we have advice on how to grow your own popcorn. And if you've got a gardening question for Murph, send that along to us. It's wglt.org/grow.